Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see every one of you, and good to be able to gather with you and do that in remembrance of Him and to sing these songs of praise to His name. What an amazing opportunity we've had to be able to worship our King this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 3. We're going to continue on in our series through the book of James. And one thing that we'll notice today is that James introduces a topic and then he might go away from it for a little while. And then he circles back and picks up with that topic a little bit later. And we've seen that already somewhat. But you may remember that from the very first chapter, he introduces the topic of how we speak and how it's important to think before we speak, how it's important to listen before we speak, the idea of being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And now he's going to give us a pretty healthy reminder of this idea of how we speak. And in this particular context here in chapter 3, he starts that with how we teach and then uses that to jump right into just the dangers of the tongue and all kinds of problems that can come from that. Let's begin reading in James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. There's a lot in this chapter that I'm just going to be honest, I don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is because I am guilty of it. You know, we were taught a phrase when we were really young that sticks and stones might break our bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. Because words have the power to injure and to injure someone deeply. I mean, just in me reading this chapter, there are scenes flashing in my mind. Scenes where I said something that I knew was hurtful or said something that maybe I wasn't intending to be hurtful and I didn't realize the impact of my words. All these different people are flashing through my mind. People that I've said things to that I knew that it had injured them and hurt them in some way. And the reason why I don't like this chapter of Scripture is because it might be one of the truest chapters of Scripture that there is. Some of the most insightful words that are given to us in God's Word. The idea of our tongue and its power. And we've already been told, like we read just a moment ago in chapter 1, the idea of making sure that we are slow to speak. Well, why is that? Because he tells us in verse 6 that the tongue is a fire. And back in verse 5, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. You see all those fires that happen out west. Many of them, they start with a small campfire that then gets spread to a smaller or a bigger area, but still a relatively small area. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing takes off and it's out of control. Gossip is like that. We had a lesson from this chapter, from this section of Scripture not too long ago, so I'm not going to repeat many of the things that we talked about back then, but just the idea of making sure that we remind ourselves that James has said to be quick to hear, slow to speak. When we looked at that passage, we were looking at it through the lens of trials. We're looking at it through the scenario where people are experiencing and enduring various trials and how a lot of that can get to the point where it produces within us anger. You know, when we are sitting there in a situation in our life, one of the hardest things to keep from doing is just popping off your mouth at someone. Anybody else have a struggle with that? I mean, to just get to a point where, you know, you're thinking it and you know you probably shouldn't, but that's what James is trying to tell us, that we gotta figure out a way to listen twice as much as we speak, being quick to hear the perspective of others and slow to share our own perspective. I don't know how much time you've spent on Facebook recently, but Facebook is a place where this passage is near impossible to obey, isn't it? When you've got all different kinds of people sharing their opinions and sharing their thoughts, and in one post we're blessing our God and Father, and in another post we're tearing down the people on the other side of the aisle. James is dealing exactly with what's going on in our culture today. He begins the chapter by warning us about becoming teachers. And while in just a quick glimpse of this text, it may appear that he's discouraging us from being teachers of God's Word. I really don't think that's what James had in mind when he wrote this. Because in so many other passages of Scripture, we're told that we ought to be teachers. We read the passage from Hebrews recently that talks about by this time you ought to be teachers. But no, you don't. You're not able to do that. You need somebody to go back and teach you again. I think the warning here that James is issuing here is realizing the importance of us being influencers of others. If we are going to open our mouths in a moment where we might then be an influencer of someone else, we need to realize that is a scenario where we need to proceed with caution. if I say something here and somebody takes it and runs with it, like that small campfire that got out of control, well, I'm going to be judged on that. I'm going to be held accountable for the things that I said that got that started. So it's not, don't anybody become a teacher. It's just be careful how you speak and realize the power of the tongue. And to realize that the tongue, what it wants to do is it wants to be inconsistent. It wants to bless on this side and in this scenario and curse in this other scenario. And we've got to get that under control. But here's the problem. No one can control the tongue. Which then leads into how he finishes out this chapter. Who among you is wise and understanding? Well, wise, wisdom, where have we seen that before? Well, we're told in the very first chapter, in the very opening paragraphs of this letter, that God's idea for us, His design for us, is that we would be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then He specifically says that if we lack wisdom, we should ask it of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. Right? So if we don't have wisdom and understanding, then we can ask it of God and He will give it to us. Provided that we ask in faith without any doubt. And so wisdom is going to come from above. Well, last Sunday we memorized that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So what we need to realize is, with regard to the tongue, that we need to get control of it, but nobody can get control of it. So what we need to do is ask God to help us. To ask God for wisdom. To ask Him for understanding. To ask Him for self-control. That which we cannot produce in and of ourselves, He will produce in us. We just sang and asked God to breathe the breath of His Spirit into each one of us. That, I believe, is the kind of plea that James is talking about here. He continues on. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Well, there we already see one characteristic of this wisdom. The wisdom that we can show is that which is gentle in nature. He says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is what comes down from above. Wisdom that is characterized by bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, well, that's not the wisdom that has come down from above. It is earthly, natural, and he even goes so far as to say it is demonic. Demonic. We've seen the demons referred to already in chapter 2. Even the demons believe and tremble, but they don't have saving faith. And so if we're going to add things into our lives or allow things to persist into our lives that James would go on to describe as demonic, I think the implication of blending all of those passages together is that we are not truly people of faith, not the kind of saving faith that is evidenced. Remember, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, I do. Show me. How are you going to show me your faith by your works? How are you going to show your wisdom and understanding? It's going to be seen in your good behavior and in your gentleness. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. That seems to be what's driving a lot of the divide in our country right now. Jealousy, selfish ambition, my thoughts, my beliefs, my alliances, my candidate, my president, not my president. I think James would describe it as demonic, what's going on. Disorder and every evil thing. You've seen that recently? Yeah. I know I have. Here's how he finishes it out. But the wisdom from above, he's going to now give us what wisdom from above looks like. You lack wisdom, you ask of God, God's going to give it to you generously and without reproach. And here's what it's going to look like. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That sound like the kind of wisdom that you want? Is that the kind of life that you want? Remember last week we took a break from our study through James and we looked at some of the harder things that Scripture has to say about the character and nature of who we have agreed to be, who we have signed up to be, the kind of person that we committed to being as we live our lives in this world. And it was putting off a lot of this demonic stuff that James is talking about. Jealousy and selfish ambition and anger and wrath and malice and evil speaking. Seems like James and Paul agreed on this topic. And then he describes this wisdom. It's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable. What does that sound like to you? That passage has a certain sound to it. Sounds to me like the fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. If you want to be a watermelon, then you might as well hear it, but you can't be the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The wisdom that comes from above. It's described in the exact same way as Paul describes what we call the fruit of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is commanding us to understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, what essentially is he commanding us to do? Ask God His wisdom. We want to understand Your will, Lord. Give us wisdom to understand Your will. We want to walk as wise. Walk circumspectly, the text says. Not as fools, but as wise. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay. God, we want Your wisdom. And in that same context, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, then you get to experience the fruit of the Spirit. That's what James is describing here, this wisdom from above. He's describing a scene where we recognize that we cannot produce anything good in and of ourselves. I can produce nothing good apart from Him, apart from His Spirit. And so I'm going to, instead of trying to tame the tongue on my own, something that no one can do, I'm going to ask God to fill me with His wisdom. And He does that by filling me with His Spirit. And when I let the Spirit lead my life, there is purity and peace and gentleness. You ever talked to somebody and just said, that person is unreasonable? They're unreasonable. Have you ever said of yourself, I am unreasonable? No, it's always the other guy that's unreasonable, right? Here. The wisdom that's from above. It's reasonable. It's full of mercy, full of good fruits. It's unwavering, without hypocrisy. And if I see an absence of these kinds of qualities in my life, perhaps it's because I've been taking the lead. I've been the one in charge. I've been the one who is wise and has understanding. How's that working out for us? It doesn't work out for me very well at all. When I'm quick to pop off at my mouth, when I'm quick to respond to something hurtful that someone has said, when I'm quick to defend myself in some position that I hold or some discussion about what the Scriptures teach or what I may have said or done at some point in the past, and I'm quick to jump up and defend myself, I don't usually see a lot of purity and peace and gentleness in those moments. James says earlier in the chapter, my brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Because what God wants, His design for each one of us, is that for us to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. He doesn't want you to have a lack of peace in your life. He does not want you to be devoid of gentleness. He does not want you to be unreasonable. He wants to fill you with these qualities. But you and I are the ones that get to decide who's going to lead. Are you going to continue to lead? Or are you going to get out of the way and let the Spirit lead and produce in you that which God so graciously, so generously wants to give to you as gifts? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the time that we've had to spend in Your book this morning, to be able to learn from one of the most difficult chapters that we find in Your Word. Father, help us to realize that there are certain things that we're just not able to do. One of them is to control our tongues, and we need Your help. We need You to help us get out of the way and let the Spirit lead and guide us, to produce in us those qualities that You want to see in those who are called Your children. We ask You, Lord, that in every situation and circumstance of life, in every conversation, that You would help us to speak with gentleness, to speak with kindness, to speak with mercy and not hypocrisy, when we speak to others. Help us, Father, as we sit down at our keyboards and type out those messages that we want the World Wide Web to see, that we would speak with grace and our words would be seasoned with salt, and that we would realize how powerful words can be. Help us before we sit down and type those words out to actually listen, to consider another person's perspective and see the wounds that may be causing them to hold a view that is against our own. To see the different challenges and trials that they've had to overcome that have formed them into the person that they are. And for us to consider the same in ourselves. What things have we gone through that may have formed a certain mindset in us? And all of that, Father, you've told us in your word, and you've put it as plainly as you can, and still we refuse to follow. You've summed it all up by saying, love other people. Please forgive us, Father, for any times where we have been unloving and where we have used this demonic wisdom as opposed to asking it from you. Please forgive us. Help us to do better. Help us to realize how much we need you every single day, every hour, in every scene of our lives. We need you and your guidance and your Spirit leading and guiding us and pointing us all the way to home in heaven with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and not part of the family of God, then we want to take this time to invite you to come. Some of us were discussing a book yesterday, and there was a great phrase in the book that says, if you, I'm going to butcher it because you know me and books kind of have this love-hate relationship, but it's a good phrase, a good book. But if you believe in God and you are ready to start that journey of faith, then you need to take the first step. And if you don't believe, you need to take the same first step. It's all about taking the first step in figuring out who Jesus is. There was a man named Jesus who lived in this world. That fact is not even debated among people who are serious about their scholarship. The fact that he lived, the fact that he died, not really hotly contested even among people who refuse to believe in him as a Messiah or a Christ or a Savior. But don't just take their conclusions for it, or don't take mine. Take the first step and investigate Jesus for yourself and see what you think the evidence is pointing to. And if you've done that and are at a position where you say, I believe and I'm ready to take the next step, then we want to encourage you in any way that we can. If you need to be baptized into Christ this morning, then certainly we would rejoice with you, and we would love to see that happen. If you just need to talk and get that first conversation going, then certainly we would love to have that conversation with you as well. I'll stand up here in the front. Some of our elders, our shepherds, will be standing in the back to talk with anyone who needs to take advantage of that. If there's any need that we can meet this morning, then certainly we want to encourage you in any way as we stand and sing this song.